You're listening to Valley of Praise on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, God, the Master has given them different talents. And I want us to look at their mindset. What makes them different from each other? Because I want to believe that their mindset was not the same. This is why the results of the story are different for the two vis-a-vis the one. What was the difference in their thinking?
So very good question as well. The difference in thinking is this. First of all, I may not know if I use the word the mistake or the problem of the master is that he gave them all in one setting.
Okay.
So when these were given, the other one was given five, the other one was given two, the other one was given one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this one was given one, although it wasn't a single talent. Like I mentioned again, it's a month down payment of salary. Okay. It's like he looked at the other two and thought to himself as being unfairly treated. But the reason why the master did that is because he already knew his ability.
Yes.
Okay? He felt he was being unfairly treated. But that should have also been a positive motivation. Remember, as well, in the book of Matthew, Jesus tells a parable over the fig tree which was planted in a vineyard. That one which did not bring out any fruit, and then he said, we are going to cut it down, okay? When the farmer, the owner, the vine dresser was told, was asked by the owner, who in this case was representing God the Father, talking to Jesus to say, please, I need this thing to be cut down, but he pleaded to say, spare it also again another year. And then he said, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to do three things.
Yeah.
What are the three things? I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to dress it. I'm going to dang it.
Yeah.
That was what he said he was going to do in year number four. I have a question there. If that's what you're going to do next year for it to produce fruit, what did you do in year number one?
Yeah.
I dug, I dressed, I dug.
Okay.
What did you do in year number two? I dug, I dressed, I dunged it. What did you do in year number three? I dug, I dressed, and dunged it. Okay, you've been doing those three things for the past 3 years. There's no fruit. Do you have a new strategy for next year? He says, I have a new strategy. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to dress it. And I'm going to dye it.
Okay.
But it's like you are not changing the apple. The issue is, his argument is, if that is what I've been doing to the vine, remember the vine is where the grapes are growing. I've been digging, dressing, and dyeing the vine, and they've been responding. So the problem is not the method for which I am doing. That's why this fig tree is not responding. But I placed this fig tree in the vineyard so that as it is in the vineyard, as it sees the grapes growing, it also gets the positive motivation and encouragement to grow as well.
Yes.
This man was given one talent in the presence of those other servants who were given two and five so that he would use it as his motivation to grow his talent. But he used it to actually bury it and look down on himself as the master being unfair or having his low self-esteem and not cultivate to maximize and expand it. And so he lost out on that. Even in our case, there are certain times when we envy other people, but we so much that we should envy them in a negative way, but they should actually be people that we draw positive motivation from. Because remember, God was using the same method on them, and they responded positively. But why is it that we are not responding in the same way, even though we have started out little?
Pastor, can I come in there? And I have sort of picked up that there are a lot of young preachers that look up to you as a pastor, and you are saying that you know, this servant was supposed to learn from the others, and also I want to believe the element of sharing information and knowledge. How important is it for us, those that have nurtured our talents, and it doesn't mean that we've finished nurturing them. How important is it for those that have learned how to nurture their talents to teach those that are upcoming?
So one thing that you actually realize, I like what Miles Monroe says, especially in that context.
Yeah.
He says, part of stewardship is replicating yourself in the next generation.
Amen. Amen.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if we do not get to the level where we are able to replicate ourselves into the next generation, then we have failed.
Yeah.
In the Jewish mind, they believe there are three things that every man should do before they died.
Yeah.
There are three things. Please note them. Jesus was born in the Jewish culture, so mm-hmm. obviously he knew about this.
Mm-hmm.
There are three things that every Jewish man should do before they die. Number one, they should leave posterity behind, a child. That's why it was a big deal even with Abraham. It was actually haunting him,
mm-hmm.
such that he even explored other means of having a child by giving, by bringing on Ishmael.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So number one, you were supposed to have a child. Number two, especially a male.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you were supposed to write a book. Okay?
Write a
number
book.
Number three, you were supposed to plant a tree.
Okay.
Okay? Number three, you're supposed to plant a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So these three things, a child, a book, and a tree.
Yeah.
And for them in the Jewish mind and in the Jewish culture, when you do these three things,
mm-hmm.
you are ready to die.
Okay.
Why? Because these are the three things, according to them, that will outlive you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A child who is most likely going to outlive you, they're going to carry your name, they're going to carry your identity,
mm.
your DNA, and everything. Number two, a tree is going to outlive you, most likely. But also a book, it will remain for the next generation. So even for us people who are older preachers in the business,
mm.
we should actually find a way of leaving some tracks behind.
Yeah.
Of people that we can actually pour into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that even though we died,
yeah.
some years later,
mm.
we can leave behind our brain. By the way, sorry to digress, but let me just mention this. In primary days, I remember there was a book that we did in Zambian language, some local languages we learn in school.
Mm-hmm.
So it taught us why we don't have our local medicines, okay?
Mm.
The whites have medicines, which we are still using as conventional medicine.
Mm.
So this writer says the reason why we do not have our own original medicine is because we were bad at record keeping.
Yeah.
So when this doctor, Enganga, dies, it means that all his muti is burnt and buried with him.
Mm.
He will not tell you this what mix to get malaria, you should get this to get to fix syphilis or mm. whatever. They die with it. And because we live secretively, it's more or less like when one dies, we know all have to go to scratch to start. But our friends, the white people, they had good way of record keeping. They mm. will tell you, for you to make Panadol, you have to mix this portion and that portion and then give it to them. For you to, but in our case, we forgot that. So part of stewardship is mentoring and grooming.
Amen. Amen. Pastor, you've hit me hard there. You've hit me hard. But as we're about to end, Pastor, let's look at the conclusion when there's a statement. The master says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." For me, that statement, Pastor, I may not be in theology, but that statement carries a whole lot of meaning. Because this is now the master saying, I'm recognizing your accountability. I'm recognizing your responsibility. Yes. Can we touch on that one, Mfundisi?
So, like I mentioned earlier on,
mm.
God is such a good master.
Mm.
Number one, he not only gives us things to do, but provides and does it with us. Actually, what you have read is in should be verse 21.
Yes.
Should be
verse 21. Yes.
Yes, should be in verse 21
mm.
of that text. Yes.
Mm.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
That is the applause which it actually describes who we are.
Yeah.
And what we are supposed to do at the end of the day. Let me describe it like this.
Mm.
Whatever level that we are on, whether we are pastor, bishop, accountant, doctor, nurse, engineer, teacher, or whatsoever, We are all servants.
Yes.
We will never be called Bishop Chuma.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Chuma.
Mm.
We are all servants. And since we are servants, it means that God is our master. Let me give you this as a clear illustration, because I like to paint a picture so that people really get it.
Mm.
Because in the Hebrew mind, they don't define, they describe.
Okay.
That's why when Jesus is asked, who is my neighbor, he will not tell you who the neighbor is.
Mm-hmm.
He will give you a story. He will describe the neighbor. Not define. A Greek mind is the one which defines, to say photosynthesis is the process by which a Greek mind, a Hebrew mind doesn't do that.
Okay.
When you tell a Hebrew mind to say, how can I know about this, he'll tell you a story.
Mm-hmm.
He'll describe it. So let me give an example here. When we talk about being a servant, remember the Israelites in Exodus, they were servants of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
For about over 300 years, they were under the captivity of the wrong Pharaoh. Of course, the first Pharaoh was okay, the one who knew Joseph. But then as his sons and grandchildren started inheriting the throne years passed by, there was that kind of cringiness from them until the last evil one came over, and then the 10 plagues were availed to them.
Mm.
Now, here's what I'm trying to get at. God tells Moses, to say, I want you to deliver the children of Israel from the captivity of Israel, because they are servants there.
Mm-hmm.
When they are delivered from this master, I will be their master.
Yeah.
Meaning what we move is from one servant to another servant.
Mm.
We do not at any time as human beings, because of stewardship, ever become masters.
Yeah.
You get what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So they were servants of Pharaoh. But when they are delivered from Pharaoh, then they become servants of God.
Yeah.
So even in it, theologically, we are either servants of God or servants of Satan.
Mm.
So we cannot be masters, because there are only two definite ultimates at the end of the day, theologically speaking.
Yeah.
So here, however the title that we hold, whether we are doctor, lieutenant general, commander, brigadier general, or whatsoever rank that we carry, it doesn't matter. All of us are servants.
Yeah.
Who are we servants to? We are servants to God.
Mm.
And so because we are servants, that is where stewardship begins from.
Yeah.
Because a servant has to work.
Mm.
Not really work like a normal servant can get paid, but we are working for the sake of a relationship that we have already established with God.
Mm.
So remember, he uses the word good and faithful.
Yeah.
Those are two words that actually look at closely.
Mm.
Because when it says good, it's not that you were good in and of yourself, but it says good in that in the state that you were found in, you were able to be to occupy while the master was away with minimal supervision.
Mm.
He didn't have to wake you up. He didn't have to give you a warning, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this.
Mm.
But you were able to work on your own.
Mm.
Then also faithful.
Mm.
He doesn't say it's faith. Faith is something that we acquire.
Okay.
Faithful is something that we move with.
Ah, yes.
Faithfulness talks about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Faith can even be done at once. That's the reason why people that had faith, like Abraham, sometimes would doubt.
Yeah.
People that had faith, like Peter, sometimes would fall.
Yeah.
People that had faith, like sometimes like Thomas, would fall.
Mm.
But when you are not only somebody who has faith, but you are faithful, it talks about consistency. Faithfulness talks about not only obtaining, but maintaining.
Yeesh.
Let me give it to you in context.
Mm.
It's one thing to obtain marriage.
Yeah.
It's another thing to maintain marriage.
Ah, powerful.
Faithfulness.
Powerful.
It's one thing to obtain a job.
Mm.
It's another thing to maintain a job. It requires consistency, faithfulness. Every day you need to report. Every day you need to do what? And that comes with appraisal. It's one thing to be a Christian. It's another thing to obtain Christianity.
Mm.
It's another thing to maintain
Christianity.
Because maintenance requires consistency and faithfulness.
Mm.
So these people are called faithful. It's not that they did one thing right.
Mm.
is that they continued to do the very things right consistently, faithfully, all through the end. Actually, it says faithful unto death, without compromise.
Mm.
So these are the two accolades which it comes with. And he says, not only are you good, but you were faithful.
Mm.
Even though things were bad, you were consistent. When things were good, you were consistent.
Mm.
When you were low, you were consistent. When you were high, you were consistent. You didn't only have faith, but you were faithful. You didn't only obtain it, but you maintained it.
Mm.
And so enter into the kingdom.
Mm.
Where your father or your master has prepared for you.
Mfundisi, I almost want to give you a pulpit, but I want to close it. the master. I beg your pardon.
The last thing. Let me just mention one thing. Because you said this was the last question, let me just mention one thing.
Yes.
Because that man who had one talent was unfaithful.
Yes.
The one talent is gotten and given to the one who was faithful.
Yeah.
The one who had five made five more and was given 10 or had 10.
Yeah.
But the one talent that was grabbed from that man was actually given to the one, not who had four talents, but the one who had 10 talents now.
Yeah.
Meaning, the more faithful you are, the more your rewards.
Amen.
The Bible doesn't say he got that one talent and gave it to that one talent because he's proven himself to be more responsible and faithful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. And Mfundisi, I thank you for touching that one, because I was going to say, in closing, the master was against the thinking of the one servant who had the one talent. Because the servant says, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I mean, this man is saying the master wants to reap where he did not sow. Where did he get the seed? He got it from the master. And he's now telling that the master that he's reaping where he did not sow. That the kind of thinking is a very dangerous thinking, Mfundisi.
Very true. Just like I had mentioned, Pope John Paul II says, there's no one who's so rich that they do not want more. Neither is there anybody who's so poor that they've got nothing to give. For God to say you are accountable, it means he has already invested in us.
Yes.
Let me just push it a little bit further. The first investment of God was his breath in us.
Yes.
When Adam was made, he was mortar. He was clay. The first investment in Adam was God's breath.
Yes.
And everything that God does has got life in it. His breath is the breath of life. His bread is the bread
of life.
His water is the water of life.
Wow.
Even his tree is the tree of life. So there's no way God can say, give me something, and yet there's no life in it.
Yeah.
That's why even when he tells you, go in the desert, though it seems lifeless, he cannot change you where there's no life.
Yeah.
Yeah. One man went into a farm.
Yeah.
And it was a deserted place. It was a deserted place. I'm talking about stewardship. Very deserted, dry and everything.
Yeah.
So this pastor, he was actually a pastor. He came there and he dug around the place, made a farm, put some water there, irrigated it. And people around who were not farming or doing anything, they started coming to him to beg. So he said, no, these things are put here are not for free. I'm supposed to sell them.
Yeah.
Then the people were complaining, but you are a pastor. So the reason why you have this farm is because God has blessed you.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to give us these things for free.
Then
the man looked at them and said, well, you should have seen how this place looked like when God had it all to himself.
Okay.
So the reason why it looked like this is because I put in work. When God had it all to himself, it was a desert. It was dry. It was packed. That is stewardship. So even when God sends you in a dry place, you can do something.
Amen.
Because he's imbued you with it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mfundisi, I want to say thank you for coming through to the Adventist World Radio. I always enjoy, just watching your sermons on YouTube. What's your YouTube channel, by the way? Because you mentioned that the Jewish culture, you've got to leave something, write a book. And I think you've written a book on YouTube. What's your channel, Mfundisi, for those who want to look at your teachings there?
Sure, my YouTube channel is Pastor BB Molenga.
Yes.
B as in B, D.
Yes.
The letter B, because my full name is Abodin Wale Molenga. Oh. So BB and Molenga. Molenga spelled MULENGA.
Ah.
So you can find most of my contents there. Equally on Facebook, that's my Facebook handle, Pastor BB Molenga. Pastor spelled PST, an acronym or a contracted form, yes.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, Pastor, sure. May you please close for us in prayer. Thank you very much.
Well, before I pray, thank you also for having me. I don't take any invitation lightly. I'm so humbled for your knocking on my door. You know, so many preachers and people that can have done this, but I'm grateful. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time that you had given us, that we were looking at the word that you had given lessons of in the book of Matthew 25. Lord, now we pray that in the same way you required of us to be stewards who are good and faithful, may we be stewards over everything that you have given us, our spiritual gifts, our hearts, desires, our abilities, our personalities, experiences. We pray that you may give us the ability to be good stewards of our gifts, our talents, experiences, and also skills that you've imbued in us. We pray, Almighty Father, that while you are away, we may be able to occupy. Because the more we use our talents and our abilities, the more you multiply us, even in our usage of them. And so, Lord, we pray that we may be good stewards over everything that you have given us, including our lives and our families that you have entrusted in us. I pray for the people who are listening to me to say, Father, may you reach them with your hand of blessings, including the people that are handling this platform where we are listening through on Adventist World Radio. All in all, Lord, we pray that you may help us to love what you love and to hate what you hate, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Baldwin Mlenga from Zambia. Once again, thank you very much, Pastor, for coming through to the Adventist World Radio.
Likewise, the pleasure is mine.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.